This is the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2021, Episode 3. You know, Dr. Rob and I were just discussing that this may be the greatest intro music to a podcast, like, ever.
Hands down.
Yeah, when people hear this music, they're like, Dr. Rob's on. He is. Dr. Rob's on, man. I found this music in I paid for it. We've been using this like 6 years, man.
Oh, longer than that, yeah. I think. It's been a while that we've been using this.
I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I want you to go find out, is it like, oh yeah, like Joe Walsh cut this like 20 years ago and never actually put words to it. I want to know what song it is.
I don't know. I was in David City, Nebraska last week. So I was the MC for the David City Aquinas High School fundraiser, and
great,
I was simply amazed how many people listen to the Husker Doc Talk podcast.
Well, they should.
Well, I was there in like last August when they had their fundraiser, and I mentioned that you and I did a podcast, and then I come back and like, man, I listen to you and Dr. Rob all the time. So you are huge, huge in David City.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm nothing without you, Travis.
Oh, that's simply not true. Now,
not like people have jelly sandwiches. They have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
So we are recording this just after 12 noon on Sunday the 18th, and Dr. Rob just left my kitchen as my wife always greets Dr. Rob with something special. And
you need to finish this line of
Well, hold on, I will. Okay. But when Dr. Rob comes over, there's usually a mad dash in the kitchen to get some baked goods on. So either they're cookies or something. Today, my wife went with the homemade raspberry cinnamon rolls.
I don't know if you need to pronounce the P.
I like doing that just to piss people off.
That's like it's like Stewie from
Cool Whip.
Whip?
Cool Whip.
What? Why?
I love Family Guy, man. What
oh,
a great
God,
show.
It's so funny.
But you come over this today and I get homemade cinnamon rolls.
Dude, I should hang out here way more. You should give me beer.
Well, you know.
And I will come over.
We're not drinking beer right now. We probably will right after this. We're actually drinking coffee. We're two old guys, two old bald guys with trucker hats on right now drinking coffee.
It's good looking hats, though. We look good.
You have a beer hat on. It's McHugh's, right? Where's McHugh's at?
McHugh's Nebraska Tap Room. So it's a bar in Kearney, Nebraska. It's a great spot. Kind of their big thing is, like a number of places, they do essentially only local beer.
Okay.
Well, I say local beer. Nebraska craft brews. So you can go there. I mean, they do a constantly rotating lineup, but I mean, it's mind-blowing how many craft breweries there are around the state of Nebraska when you go to a place like this. Because in Omaha, it's really easy to get locked into, you got some great places in Omaha. Infusion's been a long-time supporter for us. But I mean, there's places in Scotts Bluff, North Platte, Chadron that are brewing and selling beer all over the place, and it's great to see that. But McHugh's does only Nebraska beers.
Oh, that's really good. Kind of like local. You know, local. There's a bar.
Exactly.
So I get that. And by the way, Dr. Rob and I, we don't have to social distance anymore. Because we're both vaccinated. We're both vaccinated human beings.
We got our microchips, dude.
Yes, we did. The government is now tracking
us. They don't have to use our cell phones
anymore.
No,
they're following us all around. Now, did you get Pfizer or Moderna?
I got the Moderna. That was the first one we got in the state of Nebraska. In the hospital I'm at, we were able to get that back in December.
So I got the J&J. I got the Johnson & Johnson.
You're going to die.
No, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. And I think people who got the J&J, they need to not worry, right?
I always think of it in the sense of everything we do has a degree of risk. I mean, you get a tetanus booster, there's some risks involved there. I mean, you get a flu shot, there's some risks involved. There is a risk in walking outside, getting struck by lightning, getting in a car wreck, whatever you want to call it. There's some risks involved. Now, the thing is that I would not worry about it. And here's, because we were talking about this. one of the bigger studies that just came out, I mean, the big risk that popped up was that you had two people that died from blood clot-related issues after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I get it. The risk of getting a fatal blood clot is higher with actually getting COVID than it is from the vaccine. So it's, yeah, there's a risk there. It's just kind of pick your poison. And right now, the more likely risk of a blood clot comes from actually getting COVID, not the vaccine. Still a risk. It's just higher with COVID. So you're kind of depends on what you, like, what you want your odds to be. So,
you know, of course, life is slowly but surely getting back to somewhat normal. The Nebraska football team practiced with people actually inside Memorial Stadium on Saturday the 17th. The spring game's coming up on May 1st. That's going to be a Wednesday night. They're going to allow up to 50,000 people inside Memorial Stadium. And that's where we want to bring in our good friend from Ticket Express to the podcast today. Chad Carr has operated Ticket Express for a lot of years. They've been the go-to for a lot of Nebraska fans. If you want tickets to the spring game, he has them. If you want them to the upcoming NCAA volleyball tournament, where we're recording this a little bit early, but we're going to presume that the Nebraska volleyball team is going to keep moving forward in the NCAA tournament, which is being played at CHI Center. You can get your NCAA volleyball tickets from TicketExpress.com. And Chad joins us now to talk about just how he's been doing through the pandemic and what's coming up as far as tickets go. Chad Carr, before we dive into, you know, the business of tickets and what the last year has been like for you, I guess, you know, Dr. Rob, I want to know how you doing personally. It's been so long since we've seen each other or even talked to you.
It's been rough. You know, basically from a personal standpoint and from a business standpoint, you know, we lost 95% of our revenue last year, and we went down from 14 part-time and full-time employees to myself and two other full-time employees, and that's it right now.
That's crazy. But the good news is you are selling tickets again. Now, we're actually recording this before the Husker volleyball team plays on Sunday, and you're crossing your fingers that they keep winning, right?
Absolutely, brother. You know, those Husker women, we are going to be charting hard for them today, and hopefully they can beat the Baylor Bears. And if they win, they will play either they'll play the winner of the Penn State Texas game on Monday. And so we're really excited about that. So, and that'll be the first time that, you know, people have seen a Husker volleyball game in person since December of 2019. So.
That's absolutely crazy. What is it like to have tickets running through your operation again? It's probably like going out to eat for the first time without a mask. It's probably, you know, the first time doing it. It's like the first time all over again.
I'm giddy. I mean, basically the cool thing about it's hard to find a silver lining, but I've gotten to have more one-on-one conversations with some of our loyal clients from the past 28 years. And I didn't realize how much I missed it. And I missed talking to people like I did back in 1992 and 1993. And because of COVID, I've gotten that opportunity all over again.
We talked about the volleyball. What other options are there for people in terms of being able to get stuff from you? I mean, is Husker baseball an option? What other sports, what other venues here are things that people can come to you for?
Great question, Dr. Rob. You know, basically we've decided that we're going to pivot, and we're really seriously looking into getting into Husker bowling tickets.
Title winners.
We don't know exactly a lot about it. But, you know, basically a lot of people ask, you know, what does it take to win a national championship? And I tell them the same thing, $81,000, because that's how much the salary of the Husker bowling coach is that just won a national championship.
See, he's always a smartass, isn't he? Always a smart. You seem a little cynical towards the football program. Of course, you've got the May 1st Wednesday spring game coming up. How has demand been for the spring game? Because they're going to let people in.
It's interesting. And the cool thing about the spring game is that it's hard to fathom this, but it has been 530 days since there's been a game at Memorial Stadium in front of fans. 530 days.
That's
last
nuts.
Game was we played Iowa in, it was November 29th of 2019 was the last game. And so people are excited. Now, the interesting thing about it is that we thought at 50% capacity, it's going to be immediate sellout. The demand was going to be similar to like Scott Frost's first year. Hasn't been that at all. And we're not really sure as to why. Basically, the game's not sold out to the university. TicketExpress.com still has great seats starting at $11 a piece, which is face value, and then they kind of go up in price from there. But we really thought that it would be a quick sellout. We're not sure if it, you know, people are a little leery about going down. I've heard rumblings from talking to some season ticket holders that the university kind of, really frustrated a lot of the high-level donors because regardless of if you were a club seat donor giving, thousands of dollars a year to the university or somebody who had two tickets up in row 97, you got four tickets and that was it. So you could have 24 season tickets in your own name, but they would only give you four. So that really, kind of ticked some people off. The other thing that we're hearing is that the digitization of tickets, everything's digital now. There's no hard tickets. Some people are getting frustrated with that. And so we'll always have demand for good seats in the East and West Stadium, club seats, lot one parking passes. We'll always have a demand for that. But I'm concerned that this beloved sellout streak, it might come to an end this year.
Now, are you seeing that same lack of demand for things, say, like the volleyball tournament?
Volleyball is off the hook. I mean, it is just, it's crazy. We're dealing with swim trials as well. Basically they just announced that that was going to be at 50% capacity. The demand for that is high as well. And so it depends on what the event is. For some things, the demand has been great because there's this pent up demand of people wanting to go. But for other things, obviously I love the Huskers. I'm an alum. I love going to the games. I will always go to the games. I will always support the team. With that being said, during COVID, for the first time in 50 plus years, people got to watch the game at home in front of a big screen TV with a beer in their hand. No hassles on game day parking. You're not giving up your whole Saturday. And it'll be interesting to see if people, enjoyed that so much that they're not necessarily going to renew their season tickets or kind of what the deal is.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there in terms of what needs to happen in terms of getting people into the seats. Beer.
Ding, 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 ding,
actually,
ding.
I say that tongue in cheek, but there's some truth there.
Well, and the other thing is, I go to a lot of events all over the country. And, if you go to the sit in the club level for a Nebraska football game, you have a chair back seat. You have nice restrooms. People don't necessarily want to sit, on a plank style seat that doesn't have armrests, cup holders. It really the seating at Memorial Stadium, other than the suites in the club, it hasn't been improved in 50, 60 years. And people want, if they're spending their money and their time to go to Lincoln, they want a good value for that.
I would be curious if they went in and just pulled everything and put basically kind of like those backed seats, like baseball stadium style seating in the entire place.
Well, it would shrink the stadium for sure, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It would, but yeah, let's knock it back down to say
probably about 85, maybe 85.
Even if it was less than that, if they did that and it dropped the numbers to 75, 70, between 75 and 80,000, I think it'd be worth it.
I don't know if you'd take that. I mean, there's a lot of fat asses where the chairs couldn't fit in, but you'd probably, would you go with a 16-inch seat then? Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
and I don't disagree with Coach Osborne on a lot of stuff. they need to sell beer in that state.
Amen, brother. Amen. Chad, hey, go ahead.
No, that you know, the other thing I was going to say is that, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And, you know, one of the things that we're really proud of at Ticket Express is that, you know, how we've handled things for our clients over since the pandemic started. So a lot of our competitors who will remain nameless, when things started to unravel, they basically said, oh, we're going to change our refund policy. We're going to give you store credit, but we won't give you money back on your credit card. And so we made the bold choice of saying, we're going to give you a choice. We're going to give you the 100% of your money back on your credit card if it's a canceled event, or 125% gift card that you can use for something else down the road if you'd like to keep the money with us. And, you know, basically on the podcast, from a month ago, you guys talked about the Ireland game. So, you know, the official sponsor of the, you know, Ireland packages that the university contracted with was Anthony Travel. And on February 17th, they sent out a message to everybody saying, hey, we're going to give you your money back, but it's going to be 60 days. Well, coincidentally, today, April 18th, is 60 days. And to my knowledge, nobody's seen their money. And so, you know, one of the things, like when people spend money on tickets or travel packages or whatever, you know, we just want to make sure that people are treated correctly. And, you know, it's unfortunate whether it's, you know, basically StubHub, Vivid Seats, or, you know, whomever, or Anthony Travel, when people are holding your money hostage during a pandemic. We just don't think it's right.
Well, the good news is you are open for business, and Major League Baseball is selling tickets again, all sorts of things. TicketExpress.com is the place to go, where no event is ever sold out, and now events are back open, which is super cool. Chad, it's always good talking to you. You've been a long supporter of the podcast, and you know you're welcome on here anytime.
Hey, and one thing, I do have a question. Thanks for having me on today. I do have a question that I would like Dr. Rob to answer.
Yes, you know, Iowa's won 5 in a row against Nebraska.
Duh. What's that?
Yeah, I said, yes, Iowa's won 5 in a row against Nebraska.
Son of a bitch.
Hasn't everybody won 5 in a row against Nebraska? No, basically today is a very, very somber anniversary. So it is the 25-year anniversary of the death of Brooke Boehringer. And I would just like Dr. Rob to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the memories that he had from having Brooke as a teammate, and maybe some things that, you know, basically the Husker Doc Talk podcast listeners, you know, maybe a story or two that they're not aware of or haven't heard before.
25 years, Dr. Rob, that Brooke passed away. I remember that day like it was yesterday, because I was working at KPTM Fox 42 at the time. Where were you when you got the phone call about Brooke?
I was in New Jersey, and I remember my older brother, who still lived in Lincoln at the time. The news hit there hard and fast, obviously, and so he called me that morning, and I was with the Giants. Obviously, that was during the off season for us, but my wife and I lived in New Jersey at the time, and so that's how we found out, was when my older brother called me to let us know.
Did you come back for the funeral, or did you stay out in New Jersey? What did you do?
Stayed out in New Jersey. We had team workouts going on at the time, and things kind of moved fast with the funeral in terms of being able to get some travel arrangements to get back. Just wasn't able to do it.
So you played in the National Football League, and a lot of people thought Brooke was going to have a really good NFL career. Do you think he would have been a good NFL quarterback?
I think he would have been, at worst, a solid NFL quarterback. No, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tom Brady, but he was I think people really underestimate, or they don't remember how good of an overall athlete he was. He actually ran kind of a run-based option offense in high school. And so he didn't really look the part. He looked like an NFL guy. I mean, he was one of these guys, 6'3", 6'4", 215 pounds, had a rocket for an arm, great accuracy, great touch, great decision-making ability, highly, highly intelligent guy. So, I mean, in terms of being able to make it in the NFL, every tool in the toolbox that guy had, things that people forget about him is I remember when we were seniors in 94, Brooks' junior year, obviously, that season, I don't think he quite qualified statistically in terms of numbers of passes thrown, but he actually led the Big 8 Conference in pass efficiency. I think he was like one pass per game under the minimum. I think you had to throw something like, I can't remember, like 22 passes a game to qualify officially to have your statistics tracked in that regard. And he averaged like 18 or 19 passes a game. It's just he would go 16 of 18 every game with two touchdowns and there you go. I mean, he was one of those guys who his touchdown to incompletion ratio was essentially 1-to-1. And but just a tremendous talent in that regard. Now, I mean, probably the bigger thing, though, is the best quote I ever heard about Brooke actually came from Ron Brown, is that he was one of those guys that you always hear all of this stuff said about him in regards to what type of person he was, and all of it's true.
And that's the mark of one's character and integrity, right?
Oh, the guy was just a hugely high character guy, truly cared about the team. And both he and Tommy got put. I mean, it's not like this was an easy situation for Frazier either. But the two of them were put into a tough situation. And whoever came out on the losing end of that was going to need a lot of character and a lot of grace. And it definitely got tested for both of those guys. And Brooke came out of that just absolutely shining in terms of showing the type of character that the guy had.
You know, it seems like yesterday, but it's also a reminder, as we are told many times when it comes to death and how to deal with it, time stops for nobody. I mean, it's 25 years. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing how fast that 25 years has gone.
So let's transition into the practice yesterday at Memorial Stadium. And it's hard. I know people get excited. And I was watching Twitter yesterday. Everybody's all pumped up and everything like that. I get it.
Best wide receivers Nebraska's ever had.
But let's start with the quarterback situation. Because Adrian Martinez is – I mean, depth at quarterback this fall could be a problem for Nebraska.
Yes.
But by all accounts, again, it's spring, Adrian Martinez is looking better and playing better.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing well. The thing that'll be interesting for me, so last year, last spring, which now we didn't really have spring ball last year, so it's kind of a little bit of a wash, but he was coming off of both a shoulder surgery and a knee surgery last spring. I'll be curious to see how he looks in a game situation this fall because, you know, one, there's a big difference between going through spring practice. You've got some protection around you. You've got the green jerseys on those guys. It's not like Ty Robinson's barreling in there at 310 pounds of angry fury and waylaying Martinez in the pocket. That's just not happening. That is going to happen when they start playing games, though. He's going to start taking hits. He's going to carry the ball and get tackled. He's going to line up to pass and have a defensive end slam into him a few times. How is his body going to hold up? And I do have some serious questions about that because he's had some nagging injuries the last 2 years that have limited his effectiveness, in my opinion. And probably the biggest one of those injuries is that right shoulder injury. It is really, really hard to overcome a shoulder injury for quarterbacks if it's your throwing arm that's affected by it. I mean, you know, and this is kind of just my gestalt. I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but I mean, you're looking at if you have a shoulder surgery, I mean, if you can get that thing back to 90 to 95% of what it was prior to the injury, prior to the surgery, that's a great recovery for a shoulder injury. But if you're a quarterback, knocking 5 to 10% off of your throwing arm's effectiveness is huge. And we have seen that the last year or two in terms of his ability to get the ball downfield. In terms of the, I mean, A lot of passes to the flat. You see a lot of those quick short routes, a lot of 5, 10, 15-yard passes. You just haven't seen him effectively line up and push the ball 30, 40 yards downfield. And I think a lot of it goes back to that shoulder injury. And so I'm going to be a little skeptical here until I see him in a game situation take a few hits. And then you've got these wide receivers, but I want to see if he can actually get the ball to these guys. I don't doubt the fact that Manning's a talented guy. We got, is it Touré from Montana? So you've got some really good ball players here. You got Xavier Betts from Bellevue West, just an unbelievable athlete. So they've got some guys that I really want to see him get the ball to. I don't know if he's going to be able to get the ball to him deep downfield, and that's been a massive, massive setback for this offense over the last couple of years because defenses just don't have to worry about the long ball.
So you bring up the wide receivers because that was the big chatter yesterday. It was like, oh, my God, this looks like a professional wide receiver core. This is what everybody's been waiting for. And I would agree that an emphasis in recruiting and every play that has been on the wide receivers – again, can you tell? And people are going to say, Trav, you're the negative one. Listen, I've been doing this for 30, 35 years. Spring ball, I don't get excited about spring ball.
I don't either, and I never have. I mean, you can go back over the years.
But I guess, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I guess one of the more exciting things would be, you haven't been saying it in the past, so it must be that noticeable, though, right? When you show up and go, oh, this looks different than what it has in the past. So that's a positive.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. It's just, I mean, how many times have we had, say, a spring practice and people were like, oh, my God, Mo Washington looked unbelievable, or this guy or that guy looked absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you hear that all the time. I mean, the list of Nebraska quarterbacks who have been, I mean, just spring game rock stars, it's huge. I mean, I'm going back to the, I mean, Kurt Dukes, Harrison Beck, I mean, all these guys who transfer, fizzle someplace else. I mean, it's just, the number of guys that have just absolutely rocked it in spring practice for Nebraska is mind-blowing. And then as the season rolls around, it's one of those like, well, this isn't what we saw during the spring game. I mean, I don't care if the offense goes out and lights up our defense for 500 yards passing in a spring game. I'm not sure that tells me how they're going to do against Wisconsin or Ohio State or Iowa. And therein lies the problem is that it's, you can have a spring practice, you can have a spring game. I'm not sure it gives you a really good picture of how good the team is, no matter what you see. Now, do you want to see, there's kind of some key things you do want to see. I mean, you want to see the fact that Nebraska shows an ability to run the ball against their own defense. They want some mid-range passing. You want some downfield passing. You want all these pieces of the puzzle. You want guys to look like they're continuing to develop. And that's great. It's just I think you just get a very – I don't know if skewed picture is the right way to phrase it, but it's not like we're watching these guys have a spring game against another team.
It's funny that you bring that up. So many of you know I host a morning show on KXNO in Des Moines, and each and every week I have Mark Farley on my show. Mark Farley's the head coach at Northern Iowa. FCS played spring football this year. They just finished up a six-game season. And to make the connection with Nebraska, Sean Watson is now his assistant head coach, and Joe Gans is an assistant at Northern Iowa as well. But I asked this to Mark Farley the other day. I said, now that you've gone through a spring season like this, instead of a spring game, would you rather say, okay, maybe do 20, 25 practices, but have two games in the spring, which would count as a spring game. You'd have a home game and an away game, so there's revenue for both sides. Would you support something like that? And,
I mean, would it like it? It doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Instead of playing a spring game against each other,
basically it's
a scrimmage against another team.
It's an inter-squad.
Yes,
scrimmage.
Yes. They do it in the National Football League during training camps.
Yeah, we did it during training.
Yeah. Camp. So would it be beneficial in the spring to say, all right, Nebraska is going to play, I don't know, Iowa State 1 week in Ames, and then next week somebody comes to Lincoln. To play, I'm just throwing. So one team gets a home game, one team gets. So everybody gets a home game during the spring for some revenue.
I would love it.
Why don't they do something like that? Oh, injuries.
I'm sure there's NCAA rules against it in some.
I know, but you can change that shit.
No, if there was a way to do that, me personally, I love that idea. Do a controlled scrimmage, and you could put some limits on it, like hey. Quarterbacks are off limits. Fine. Quarterbacks on a passing play are off limits. Otherwise, it's a full speed scrimmage. I would absolutely love it because I think, one, the amount of development you get from that kind of competition, it's several notches above what it is practicing against your own teammates. It just is. That's why the NFL teams do it. If they can arrange it from a travel standpoint to scrimmage against another team, they do it.
I mean, think about it, because I mean, just look within a 4-hour radius of Lincoln. You could go play Kansas State. You could go play Kansas. You could go play Iowa State.
What would be interesting?
You could do a North Dakota. You could do a South Dakota. You could do a South Dakota State.
Hugely interesting.
Yeah,
and it's the other thing you could do too. I mean, from a rules standpoint. You could require it to be outside of your own conference.
Yeah.
I think that would make it more interesting. Let's have a scrimmage against somebody we don't normally see that's okay driving distance. Like you just said, Iowa State or K-State or any one of those Dakota schools. Right now, a team like South Dakota State, Northern Iowa, they would give Nebraska fits, I think.
Well, it is because there's not that much difference. Because you're talking about the upper echelon of FCS, where we know – upper echelon of FCS, the only difference there really is depth. There might be a couple different things, but the depth is the big problem
it
there.
It is. Well, you look at what those Sun Belt teams did last year at the start of the season. Well, throughout the season, they played some great, great football.
I mean, I think that would 100%.
BYU definitely believes that.
Even if you said, okay, just one scrimmage, that would still improve spring football and the meaning of it tenfold.
Oh, hugely. And I mean, here the other thing is from a fan interest standpoint.
Yep.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Would absolutely love it. There's a spring game I would want to go see. I've said it on the podcast 1,000 times. If I'm going to go down and go to the trouble of grabbing my kids, packing a cooler, throwing the tailgate grill in there, and making a day out of it. I want the other team in a different colored helmet. I have said that for years. I would absolutely love to see that happen.
So we talked about the wide receivers. We talked about the quarterback. You know, Scott Frost has said, you remember when he was hired, you know, everybody's going to have to adapt their defenses for his offenses. That's changing now. He's adapting his offense to the Big Ten.
Well, and I think that's something that was going to have to happen. Even I was excited. I mean, you saw that a little bit early on in his first season. I mean, you go back to 2018. I mean, there was a lot of games where offensively they were a major thorn in the side of some of these teams. But I think in terms of kind of long-term viability, you got to be able to slug it out. And I think when you got Wandale getting beat up because he's the main guy on the offense, when you see the injuries that Martinez has picked up over the last couple of years, these are the kind of hits and injuries that you don't get week in and week out against a Memphis or a South Florida. It's just not. These are the injuries you get going against a Wisconsin or a Michigan or an Ohio State. And so there's got to be a little bit of developmental change here. I mean, you look at what Bo Pelini did when Nebraska was in the Big 12. I think Bo Pelini came in and made some wholesale changes and essentially kind of revamped Nebraska's defense in order to hang with the Oklahoma States, the Baylors, the Pirate down at Texas Tech, all of those schools that were just completely opening things up and running these wide open air raid offenses. And then all of a sudden they go to the Big Ten, and it's one of those, Well, now you just got Wisconsin rolling downhill at you like a Mack truck for four quarters. It's going to kill you over time. And so he had to go through sort of this developmental change in terms of how they did things to deal with that. And which, I mean, to be honest, I think they were only halfway through that at the time he got fired. So it's something that it's a change that I think was going to have to happen if Nebraska was going to become a viable contender at any point in the process here.
It's funny that we still all refer to Mike Leach as the Pirate. He will always be known
He's always going to be the Pirate. And everybody knows exactly who you're talking
about. Yes, it's like, oh, the Pirate from Texas Tech. Oh, you're talking about Mike Leach, who's now at Mississippi State. And believe it or not, had like a top 25 recruiting class. And Lane Kiffin had a top 25 recruiting class at Ole Miss. Those two might be changing the landscape of the SEC.
They still got to coach those guys up, and I'm not sure. Leach has done some good things over the years. Kiffin, I don't know, dude. I'm not sold yet.
The offensive line is something near and dear to your heart. Nebraska rotating four guards to its top spots yesterday. Matt Sichterman and Brant Banks, a right guard, Ethan Piper and Brock Bando at the left guard spot.
It'll be interesting to see those spots, who actually nails it down. I mean, I think Piper's definitely got that left side. It's going to probably be the main guy there. I'm kind of curious to see with a little bit more developmental time what a kid like Henry Litovsky does. He's a Mount Pleasant, Iowa kid, but he's just an absolute freak of nature athlete. When you look at the defensive line, you look at a guy, say, like Ty Robinson, who's one of these guys who I think he's an NFL guy. You got a guy who's 6'6", 6'7", 310, can run, freak of nature level strength. Right now, I think Lutowski might be one of the very few guys on the offensive line that can match up man for man in terms of that level of size and athletic ability on the offensive line. So that's a young guy that I think could make some waves there at the guard spot. The right guard spot, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see for me, just because you didn't see a lot of guys other than Farniok at that spot all last year, and I thought Farniok was very okay.
Sure.
So
you're pretty negative.
The hair, the hair game was spot on. Outside of that, that's about it.
You know what's funny is that another picture popped up of the pipeline in '94. You guys were all buzz cuts, man. You were all flat tops. You guys didn't have the long hair.
No, and I mean there was guys who were rocking the hair thing back then. It was just one of those guys. Just if you got hair, you got to do something with it. And I didn't want to deal with it, so I just shaved it all off. Still to this day. Easiest haircut ever, baby. But no, it's just, it'll be interesting. I think the tackle spots are locked down. I mean, you're going to see Corcoran and Benhart at those two tackle spots. And I think those guys are going to do fine. I want to see Benhart, I'm trying to think of a way to figure out a way to play lower to the ground. Now, and I heard somebody make the argument once that when you're looking at some of these guys, like Teddy Prochaska, Benhart, the 6'8", 6'9", offensive tackles. Although, I mean, Prochaska's probably closer to 6'10". It's like low for them is not low for other people. Well, they still got to get down to the level of other people. And sometimes that can be hard for a guy who's 6'9", to get low enough to use their leverage in terms of power running, run blocking. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do that. He's got a full year of experience as a starter under his belt. I think that's going to help tremendously. But there's some improvement there in terms of learning how to play with leverage in the run game that I didn't see from him last year that he's going to have to improve with. Corcoran, we really only got one game under his belt, and that was that Rutgers game at the end of the season. I saw stuff from him in that game, however, that makes me think he's going to end up doing some good things. I'm still, even with the snap issues, I mean, I'm still a Juergens fan at center. I truly think he actually does far better and has done far better than he gets credit for from his from a blocking standpoint. The snaps are, I think that's going to continue to improve. And he did pretty well the last few games last year. I think Piper is going to lock down the left guard spot. You've got Bando in there competing. But yeah, the right guard spot's going to be the big one.
You do have a lot of freshmen that are on campus who graduated high school in December and now are participating in spring practice. I was going to ask you,
I mentioned Latovsky, so that's one of those kids that
Fedone's there too, right?
Yeah, Fedone's down. Is it Fedone or Fedoni? I think it's you're the one from Iowa.
I know I'm a Council Bluffs Lewis Central kid.
I think it's Fedoni, but did
your nephew go to Missouri already?
No, so he chose to not enroll early. But I think they actually start up next month. So
okay.
he graduates high school in May, and then he'll start up at Missouri literally next month. So
okay.
Literally it's going to be graduates high school, and I think 1 week later he's on campus.
You had a lot of guys that didn't even suit up for practice, injuries and other reasons why. But
Steps the big one I want to see, the running back transfer from USC. And I think that's going to be – I'll be curious to see how well he makes that up in the fall, not being out there practicing for spring ball.
Like with these freshmen and the transfers, how big of an advantage is it for them to go? I guess if there's one bright side, is that where the advantage comes from, for all the new guys to be able to go through this type of drill?
Yeah, I mean, being able to – having it to begin with, but especially those guys who've been on campus for a semester, it is because you're right there picking up that system, doing team-led 7-on-7, things like that. It makes a difference. I always complained. I always hated spring practice. But in terms of that development, seeing guys make moves up or even down the depth chart – it's huge in that regard. And for a guy like Stepp, who's coming in as a transfer, it's one thing to learn the playbook on paper, although I think it's all digitalized now. But it's one thing to learn the playbook. It's a different thing to be able to actually execute it on the field with the other guys on the team. And to be able to get that timing down is huge. I mean, you can know where you're supposed to go. You can know what the other players are supposed to do. But to be actually in the mix with them executing, it's a whole nother thing. And that's what these guys lose out on when you have an injury like that.
Hey, don't forget to support the sponsors of the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. We mentioned the Remington Trophy. They had to do a virtual event this year, but the main reason the Remington Trophy exists is to raise money for the Boomer Esiason Foundation and the fight against cystic fibrosis. So check out remingtontrophy.com. Dave Remington, a huge supporter of this podcast, has been for a long time, and hopefully next year we'll be gathering in Lincoln and celebrating once again together as we hand out the Remington Trophy. You heard Chad Carr from Ticket Express earlier. You need your tickets coming up for the spring game. You need tickets coming up for the 2021 season. TicketExpress.com is the place to go. Scott Strunk at Husker Hounds and three locations in the Omaha area. Again, he's been able to hang on during the pandemic. And when it comes to local businesses, man, this is what you need to do because they're going to need you now more than ever. And Dr. Rob mentioned Infusion Brewing. They've been with us really since we started taking sponsorships for the podcast. We drink Infusion Brewing Company beer. We encourage you to do the same. And Husker Max. Husker Max, so nice to distribute this podcast. All sorts of really good, up-to-date Husker news each and every day, almost minute by minute, at HuskerMax.com. Big thing happened in the NCAA this past week, Rob, and that was they finally approved the one-year transfer without sitting out a year. It's a long time coming to make it official. There will be unintended consequences with this. I want everybody to know.
Oh, there will be. I mean, even if you look at the guys transferring, it's going to be interesting to see how many guys go into the transfer and like end up not.
Well,
let me clarify something here. So we've had the transfer portal, correct?
Yes.
Are they still using the transfer portal per se?
Well, because this has been what they've done in the last couple of years is really granted waivers. They were handing waivers out like candy, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically they've done it. There was a waiver process. It's just you had what, like a 92% chance you were going to get that waiver.
Here's where the unintended consequences. And Mac Brown said it, I think, really good. Is like, in the last like 3 or 4 years, like 2,000 football players have gone into the transfer portal. 37% is all that really ended up. just because 2,000 people are in the transfer portal doesn't mean there's 2,000 places to go.
There's not.
And what's going to happen here is, well, as soon as you inform your coach, hey, coach, I'm going to go into the transfer portal, and they're going to go, okay, I understand, totally support your decision. We're not holding your spot. So if you can't find a place to go, we have to work under the assumption you're not going to be here. And if we fill your scholarship, you're screwed.
No, exactly. But for a lot of these guys, it's interesting in terms of the scholarship availability, because it's not like you can just go out into the high school ranks and grab a kid. There's rules in that regard. So, I mean, they've got to take A, another transfer, or B, promote somebody within the program to take that scholarship spot. But you make a great point, because I even know last year, at one point late in the season, this is probably December, January, I think the statistic I saw, there was 1,500 some people in the transfer portal, but in terms of available scholarship opportunities, it was like 600 and some scholarship opportunities. So it's like you said, you had somewhere between right around 60%, little over 60% of these guys are going to, A, have to go back to the school they came from, may not have that scholarship waiting for them, go to a JUCO, sit out a year, go to another level, go to 1AA, D2. It's not this automatic that you're going to end up someplace else equivalent.
And here's another thing that scares me about it. And I think we saw this more in basketball. It's going to hurt programs, it's going to hurt conferences. Because I'll use Drake University as an example. Joe Yesufu came on late, was the sixth man of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference. Because the starting point guard at Drake got hurt, Yesufu started, just had an amazing 12-game run. Well, what's going to happen is open recruit. Now that you don't have to sit out a year, if you don't think recruiting will happen even after, and this will happen to Conference USA, the American Athletic Conference, and the Sun Belts, and those leagues, where if you have a high performer, if you don't think somebody's getting in somebody's ear, hey, you could play at a Power 5. You need to go here.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see the loss of those superstars.
Yes.
On the flip side, however, I could see that getting made up by where you see some of these guys who are maybe okay players at a Power 5 school, or part-time starter, good solid backups at a Power 5 school, going down and picking up a lot of that slack at a Sun Belt school.
That's fair.
Or an AAC, et cetera.
But again, and we don't know where it's at now. And for the record, and I believe you are too, I'm for this rule, because it's been basically happening. I mean, Oliver Martin is a perfect example. Here's a guy that's on his third school in the last 2 years. Michigan, Iowa got the waiver, and now he's at Nebraska.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think there should be a penalty for your second transfer. I don't think it should just be like, I want to go play at a different school every single year. I'm okay, because and now, going back to my conversation with Mark Farley, and Scott Frost is in no different boat here. They're going to end the dead period, it looks like, on June 1. Mark Farley told me, and Scott's going to be in the same position, every kid they have on campus this year, everyone, has not stepped foot on campus. In an official capacity.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's crazy if you think about it. Because, so what I'm saying here is, you're going to get people who get here who, over a Zoom call, thought it was really cool.
And then they're going to get there and be like, I don't like this place.
Yeah, and it's dangerous for coaches and players, because I think you learn a lot by interacting with somebody one-on-one, right? I can have a conversation with you and kind of get a feel for if you really like it here.
And having a feel for the team, being able to go on a recruiting trip and watch a team practice, see how guys interact with each other in a weight room, in the training table, et cetera, you get a little bit of just sort of a feel for the place by being able to go on those trips and see that. And you're right, they haven't had that, which I thought it was a horrible decision by the NC2A to do that. And I think from a risk reduction standpoint, had probably, I mean, just nil effect, truth be told.
Yeah. And another thing I wish the NCAA wouldn't have done, and it sounded good at the time. But in reaction to COVID, they should have never given everybody the free COVID year. That's dumb. Because you're creating a lot of
if I think it's one of those things where what I would have been okay seeing is give players an opt out option, because some guys did do that. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but if you want to opt out, you can opt out, essentially sit out a year and not compete. I would have been fine with that. However, I think the rule should have been if your school has a season and you play, that's your season. I don't think you get an extra year on top of that. And that I agree with. Now, if you were one of these schools where, okay, hey, we either canceled the season
But so they're non-scholarship anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, they work it. You're not paying, but you still have to do the eligibility thing.
I get
it's for the schools that moved the season to the spring. I kind of would have been okay if they did that.
So
the 1AA schools, if it's one of those, you want an extra year, well, you can play the season, you can play the games, but we're going to call it a spring season.
But like Mark Farley said,
spring practice.
But like Mark Farley told me, he goes, listen, I got a problem because I don't know how many high school guys I can bring. I can only keep so many guys on scholarship. Then I got a Title IX problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there were unintended consequences. It sounded good. It's feel-good legislation.
It did, but yet from the get-go, there was very little direction from an implementation standpoint on how to work it. Now, if the NC2A came out and said, hey, all right, so let's say, Division I football gets, 85 scholarships a year. If they said, all right, year one, you get 105. Post-COVID.
But what's that going to do for the women's sports?
Well, no, and I get that. I mean, essentially, I would say they get the same – well, one, they get those same eligibility rules. You come up with a number system as well.
There's an equation, yeah.
Yeah, so there's an equation. You apply to all of it. And then you also would probably have to say, hey, in terms of this whole how football works into the Title IX math, it's going to get suspended for a 2 or 3 year period here. And then we're going to go back to it. We're not going to muck with women's athletics. But if 20 football players stick around, at some point you run out of money. Although, it's stupid numbers in my mind because, it's one of those.
Scholarships are funny math. It's funny math because
it's bullshit, man.
It is.
It's absolute bullshit in terms of how it works. You're asking these guys come in to play these games and make a shit ton of money for your athletic department, but then you're going to turn around and say, no, that cost the school money. Nah, it really didn't.
No, it's kind of like when UNO dropped football, right? Well, your football program cost this much, but they never figured into the equation how many of those guys who weren't on scholarship were paying to go to school.
Yeah.
That was never part of those costs ever offset the cost of the football program.
No,
right?
Exactly. Well, and I mean, here, stupid math here. I mean, at the time I was in school, this has changed since, but when I was in school, if you had an athletic scholarship, you could not keep academic scholarship money. Or if you did, you could keep it and it would reduce your athletic scholarship by that same amount. And so I had a bunch of academic scholarships, a lot of them which came from UNL itself. And so I had money from UNL that was decreasing my athletic scholarship by that same amount, which was all coming from and going to UNL. I mean, it was just idiotic math.
What's stupid about that is that nobody else in the athletic department got that money because you were a full ride guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the athletic department's budget as it stood separate. Well, I will say this. At a school like Nebraska, where the athletic department kind of operates essentially as sort of a separate entity financially from the university and is to a large degree, maybe not every year, maybe not 100%, but to a large degree is self-funding. It's not like that at most state universities, by the way. Nebraska is one of anywhere from 1 to 3 schools in a given year that operates that way. But for the majority of schools, it's like that. It's stupid, funny math.
If you are looking for something to do this coming weekend, I encourage you to get to the Reverb Lounge in Benson. At 9 o'clock, there's going to be a concert. And my son, Owen, happens to be opening the concert for Pony Creek and Sack of Lions. So my son, Owen, will take the stage at 9. Pony Creek will follow. And Sack of Lions, a huge regional country band, will be your headliner. Rob, you got to see my son perform. You came down to the Beer Can Alley.
The kid's the real deal, dude.
Pretty good. And if you, I encourage you, you know what, if you go to his YouTube channel, just search Owen Justice. And he's got a new song out that's really, really good. He's only got 3 originals up there, but he has a lot more. He's not recording them right now, but yeah, check them out, and I'd love to see you at the Reverb. I don't think Rob, you can come out. I actually bought tickets to my son's show. I had to pay $10 to go see my kid play. I'm like, damn, I gotta buy. Do I get on the list? He goes, hell, I'll probably have to get it paid to play. So
you got to come out and be like the rest of us normal people.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And I don't even know if he's getting paid for this gig or not. If you don't follow Dr. Rob on Twitter, you should. It's at Doc Talk Sports again, at Doc Talk Sports. Our next podcast will come after the spring game, which is May 1st. That's a Wednesday. Are you going down?
Yeah, I'm drinking beer, not the Kool-Aid.
Okay. Wow. I was going to say it's a Wednesday. You and I could go together. Then we could come back and do a podcast.
Dude, we both have day jobs.
That's true. We do.
The whole Wednesday spring game thing, I haven't said it yet, but I'm like, what the hell thought of that idea?
Well, anything to try something different, right? Mixing it up a little bit. I don't know.
Stupid decision.
Well, there you go. That's Dr. Rob saying that, not me. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next time on the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy.